Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
In the morning, 720 WGN. Happy Monday to you. It's going to be a nice week. Temperatures holding in the 60s all week. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Dave, you and I were talking about our weekends yesterday.
Busy. Yeah. Busy, but good.
Busy. Got to see a lot of family. I was telling you, I went to a 6th birthday party for my goddaughter yesterday. Samberg, you'll love this. So, very nice. It was just the family, so this wasn't like her little friends and everything. Very nice dinner. Wonderful time. The cake was humongous. It was one of the biggest cakes I've ever seen. And I said, well, this is a really nice birthday for you. And she said, oh, this is only party number one.
Just the family party.
Yeah. Family number two. And we've touched on this a little bit before. You know, when we're kids, you bring cupcakes to school or whatnot. Now, it is a production. So they were going to rent out a movie theater, or the movie, and take her entire class to go to a movie, to a screening of Coco. So it's kind of a little bit of an older movie.
That's a good movie, though.
Do a private screening, but now they're doing it at her house in the garage. They're running a big movie screen like we used to watch slides on and whatnot. And now they're going to have bring in a popcorn machine and have this huge stage movie theater production for her birthday party.
There's no small birthday parties anymore.
No,
so.
But that does sound fun. Yeah, it does. I know. I love a popcorn machine. I'd rather go to that one.
Aren't you invited? You are the godmom.
No, but it's the classroom.
How big is the class?
I think 30 kids or so.
That's a lot of popcorn.
Dave, do you remember when we had birthday parties and like you'd invite four friends?
Yeah, and you put these hats
on and you'd ride your bikes over.
You get those streamers and then you had cake.
Right.
Yeah, that was
and everybody went home.
Everybody went home after that.
This will make your head spin too, as Sandberg was talking about with her son. The goodie bags. It has to be a theme.
Don't get me started. Don't get me started with the goodie bags.
It's so cute, though. It's not even just a goodie bag.
It's a colossal waste, and it's wrong.
I know. And it's for a six-year-old, but she's so excited. I said, family dinner's one thing, but the party number two and party
number
three.
Is it her birthday?
Yeah, today is.
No. Is it her birthday?
Yeah.
It is her birthday?
Yeah.
Then why do the other kids get stuff? I don't understand this. I've never understood it.
The little goodie bags are so cute. They're little popcorn tins. Filled with goodies and candy.
If you get this when you're six,
exactly.
What do you have to aspire to?
Zero.
And these are the people that grow up and their birthdays last for 3 days. That's what happens.
Right.
The entire 3 day weekend is like is your birthday.
I thought
I don't blame the kids. It's the families.
The families
that throw these. And by the way, they do the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh wait. Oh yeah. You just wait till Abigail goes to school. You're going to be filling the tree.
Well, that's different. It's Abigail.
Oh, you're right.
It's 6:12, and let's do the top six and six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks. With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Man, have we got a lot of stuff to cover today. Let's start with what happened this weekend. Former Presidents Barack Obama, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and George Bush, the first, H.W., all attended the funeral of former First Lady Barbara Bush. The only surviving president not there were President Jimmy Carter and his wife, both well into their 90s. And we assume that was a difficult travel for them to make, at least to this point. Michelle Obama, Laura Bush, Hillary Clinton all joined Melania Trump there as well. And Melania Trump smiled.
About it.
She did.
About it. It was a very nice picture that they all
lovely
took.
Picture.
It's just a beautiful,
it's a beautiful picture
and a wonderful show of support.
The
did
very
you see
small
her shoes
club
for President Bush? Yeah.
You talking about Melania?
Melania's shoes. How could she stand in those things? They must have been six
inches
tall.
Those are Manolas.
She's like me. She's a former model.
Wow.
We just know how to walk the runway. The president, meanwhile, President Trump was on a tweet storm. 25 tweets over the weekend. We'll get to those later on as well. It was a wonderful tribute to an amazing woman, Barbara Bush, and the stories that went on and on and on. You know, one of my favorites was John Meacham. John Meacham, the presidential historian, mm-hmm. who was good friends with the Bush family. He said he's in an airport, and somebody comes up and goes, "Oh, I love your latest book. I love it, love it, love it. Love your latest book. Your books have changed my life. Would you please, 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 please wait right here? I'm just going to go get your book, and if you could sign it. Yes, please." He said, "I'm waiting. Fine. I'm feeling pretty good about myself." And then she comes back with a book by John Grisham.
Oh, oh no.
At which point he explains he's not, but they have a nice talk, and he gets her his book, and he signs it. He's on the way to Kennebunkport. He meets with the Bushes, and he thinks he's going to get some maternal love from Barbara Bush. Not his real mom, but mom-like. Mm-hmm. And Barbara Bush hears the story and says, "Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh," and looks at him and goes, "How do you think John Grisham feels? He's good-looking."
Oh, wow.
How great is that?
Oh, throw salt in that wound.
There's one of those for every 10 minutes you spend with Barbara Bush. They're very funny. God.
You know who
very
did
funny.
Well, I thought, was Jeb.
Yeah, very nice.
I thought it was a real
yeah,
very nice.
And I think Barbara, the granddaughter, she is, I love hearing her speak.
It was nice the way they did it with the grandkids, right? Where everybody shared readings.
Mm-hmm.
But an amazing woman. Really, really one of a kind, Barbara Bush. Next. This nightmare continues in Tennessee. An Illinois man, and the only part that you need to be concerned with is the word Illinois in this sentence, because he was from here originally,
Tazewell County.
Yeah, you get tied to this, mm-hmm. right? Because he's from here. So then is a reflection on everybody in Illinois?
No.
But this lunatic who shows up at a Waffle House naked and fires shots from the parking lot, then comes inside and shoots more. Months before Travis Reinking became the target of a manhunt in Tennessee for a shooting rampage, he was arrested for trying to cross a security barrier at the White House. The 29-year-old from Morton, Illinois, lost his guns and firearms license as a result, but the weapons ended up back in his possession. Here's how. The weapons were turned over back to his father. His father gave the weapons back to him. You want to talk about gun laws that ought to be changed? Here's one. If weapons are confiscated, you don't give them back to family members.
Amen.
You don't give them back to friends. If they're confiscated, the state or the county or the city or the feds now own them.
Right.
That's it.
You melt them down.
It's ridiculous. The only reason this lunatic had guns is because his father gave them back to him.
It's unbelievable.
Next. Midway and O'Hare both getting free Wi-Fi. Why is this a big deal? Well, it's a big deal because you're going to have free Wi-Fi at Midway and O'Hare. I would highly recommend, as is the case in all situations with free Wi-Fi, that you not use it.
Absolutely.
The security risks have never been greater, but you're going to have free Wi-Fi if you choose to use it now. Next, Kate Middleton is going to have baby number 3, possibly any minute. Paul Coit standing by in London whenever we need him. He's on baby watch.
Is he at the hospital?
He doesn't even know where the hospital is. But Paul Coit will fill us in on the baby. They've got an incredibly cute little boy and a beautiful little girl, and we'll see what this one is. There's no third. It's going to be one or the other.
Right.
Right?
Fifth in line.
Next, Mike Madigan, highly expected to be a reelected state Democratic Party chairman today. Let me tell you, Dems, you get what you pay for. 38 years of this is not enough. Well, then let's just keep putting him in power. This is not the speakership. This is the Democratic Party chairman. Largely, it's a fundraising job. Why is it a big deal? Well, if you're the guy that continues to raise money for the candidates, then the candidates are going to continue to vote for you for speaker. You're going to stay in power. And as you stay in power, you're going to continue to do what you want, not what anybody else wants. And as I've said a million times, Mike Madigan is destroying Illinois as Donald Trump's destroying America.
Can I give you a quick stat? When Madigan first became Speaker in 1983, Illinois was a AAA rated state.
Yeah, we're now D.
We're junk bond status.
I don't even care if you're a Mike Madigan fan. When is it enough? There's no other Democrat in the state of Illinois that's qualified to do this. There's no other Democrat whose turn it is. There's no other Democrat who has the ability to step up at this point. We don't even have Democrats speaking out about the continued problem of the Me Too movement and the fact that women have been sexually intimidated, and that's to be kind, in Springfield for years. When is enough going to be enough, kids? Next. White Sox pitcher Danny Farquhar. Dave, an update?
Latest remains that he is in critical but stable condition. He underwent surgery. That's been confirmed by Sox VP Ken Williams. The really the most comprehensive writing on this so far has come from Bob Nightingale of USA Today, who spoke with Ken Williams, who confirmed they performed surgery Saturday to relieve pressure on the brain or swelling of the brain. But his apparently Farquhar's wife and mother were at the game on Friday night when this occurred.
Kid was in the game. Kid was in the game, started to feel badly.
He was in the dugout when it happened.
Right, but he got to the dugout, and then he's sick.
And then it happened, and then the White Sox athletic training team is being, which of course Herm Schneider has been the trainer forever, 40 years, that they're being credited with saving his life.
No question. If you're a normal
responding
kid,
quickly.
Let's say you're a fan, you collapse in the parking lot, you're probably gone. You probably don't survive.
And what if he's home? And I mean, thankfully, there's some great medical care, but he's his wife, he's got three young kids.
That's a terrible story.
And you just hope that he's able to pull through this.
Dr. Most joins us this morning, as he does all Mondays. We'll talk more about it coming up. That's your top six at six.
And
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
We will have White Sox tickets free from you and me and us later.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Abigail Grace was over this weekend. Oh, her mom and dad were there, too. And Ross and Lauren and Abigail Grace spent the night on Saturday, and then Abigail hung out with Maureen and Amy yesterday. Well, I played the first round of golf of the year with a buddy who came in from Alabama. Previously scheduled, by the way.
Aww.
How'd you do?
First round. Throw it away.
But this guy, Steve Miller, hit some good shots.
Is that the Steve Miller?
Yeah, the guy from the band.
Okay.
Yeah. But Abigail coming in yesterday sparked a conversation. Oh, by the way, she might be in tomorrow on the show.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, she may do a drive-by. Or in her case, a toddle by.
A waddle by?
The conversation was sparked last night when I was talking to Sandberg about what grandparents let grandkids get away with. Now, you told me first, let's back this up for a second. Your dad and mom, when you and your sister would do something, the hammer would be dropped.
Yeah, my parents were very strict.
So, give me an example.
If we went out, we used to go to northern Wisconsin, never allowed to eat in the car. For a whole 8-hour car ride.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not a diner. It's a car.
We always made beds. Our bedroom doors had to be open. You weren't allowed to ask my dad a question until he had his first cocktail.
You weren't allowed to eat till 8 o'clock.
Right. You weren't loud. You didn't talk in the car. You certainly didn't kick the back of a seat. Or you would get a red handprint smacked to your leg because we wore uniform skirts. So your bare leg was always exposed and you'd be whacked. You know, we just a very strict whatever.
But outside of that, it was family fun.
Oh, yeah. It was a great time.
So fast forward to this weekend when your delightful stepson, Patrick, did what?
So all of a sudden, there's a little tiny smiley face on the table we use in the kitchen. And the table is my great-grandma Gompierre's. It's like a 130-year-old table. And so he was asked about this smiley face, which has been carved into it, which I'm going to post this picture. And if anyone wants it, I'll text it
to
you.
It's a good smiley face.
It's a really good smiley face.
What did he use to carve it?
Well, when he was, it was right in his position and he's left-handed and it's right on the left-hand side.
His jackknife, the one he carries, you know, the one he whittles with.
So we asked him about it and he doesn't quite remember if he did it or not.
He did it.
So then he said, well, if you did do it, what did you use? Well, if I did do it, it was when I was doing homework and I used a mechanical pencil, if it was me.
But you'll never prove it, Coppers, never.
But he pretty sure is him because he doesn't think Catherine would do something like that in his spot on the table.
Right.
And then, so I took a picture of it and I sent it to my parents.
The funny thing about not knowing he did it is, what is he going around destroying tables in other places?
I'm not sure.
I carve in so many tables. How do you expect me to remember just one?
Yeah. And he also, then when some more discussion, he expressed some concern for getting into heaven over this. And so I tell my parents, our favorite left-handed, you know, boy here added some character to Gompierre's table. and he's concerned about getting into heaven. And my dad said, he writes back with a pic, you know, that's hysterical. He's so funny. And then my mom writes, oh, heaven has open arms for him at all times. Like, yeah.
I don't know if my mom would have said the same thing.
And
20
she
years
said,
ago.
Leave it and leave it. Leave the little smiley face. She wants the smiley
She thinks
face.
It adds character.
Yes. And so Katie and I would have been, I don't even want to know what would happen to us if we carved into
You'd
the
still be grounded. You'd be grounded now.
Right. And so my Pat was like, your parents are no help here because they think everything he does is adorable and whatever. So thought we would ask people.
You know, I don't know that this applies to every family. Do you think it does? Like Vandeveld, were your mom and dad like that with your kids?
Real strict?
Strict, or were they letting them get away with murder?
Yeah, my mom, there were so many that and there still are that my mom sometimes doesn't really notice what's going on.
Well, what about your dad? Was your dad fun grandpa?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My dad would laugh, I think. He would have.
Now, Abigail's never done anything wrong. But in fact, if she did, it would obviously be Ross and Lauren's fault. I mean, right. I think that's clear.
Can you already tell, though, that you're going to be easier on her than your own kids?
That's pretty easy on my own kids.
But, has Patrick owned this, though? Has he said, look, I did this. I feel bad
about
it.
He said, I'm not sure. But if I did do it, it would have been with a mechanical pencil.
So if he's...
If I did it.
So is he really not sure, or is he playing you?
Well, I believe we're being played.
Right.
I think in his mind, he could not be sure.
I think because it was kind of a mindless thing he did.
Yeah, just doodling. Yeah. Well, I'm doodling by carving into the table.
Does he carve his desk at school? Maybe you should ask his teacher or check it out.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think there's a wood desk at school anymore, is there?
Yeah, they're like that shiny material.
The shiny stuff.
You might be able to write marker on it. But
they're
that's...
all linoleum.
Mayor, I'm not a detective, but I'm pretty sure this kid carved
well,
into our table.
Oh, so, yeah. Absolutely.
My point is, we are mad about it, but my parents think it's the most adorable thing ever.
See, grounded. My thing would be the lying thing, because when I was younger, my mom said, did you brush your teeth? I think I was 5 years old. And I said, yeah, and I clearly hadn't. And then she said, did you brush your teeth? I said, I don't remember. And then I got my mouth washed out with soap for lying.
Yes.
Well, then you didn't have to brush your teeth because everything was clean at that point.
So, yeah, if he would just fess up to it, you know, and apologize.
I think I'd be madder than you guys are.
But you guys are missing the point. Nobody's mad. Nobody's mad because grandma and grandpa are fine, so nobody's mad.
Yeah, it's my family's table, and they're like, oh, it's adorable.
Where is all this anger gone?
Yeah, is Pat mad?
Oh, yeah, Pat's mad.
Okay. You guys do something.
So here's the text question. What do you let your grandkids get away with that you would have murdered your own children over? 312-981-7200. That's your text question. Grandparents, what would you let those beautiful, cute little grandkids get away with that your own rotten kids never would have had a chance to be escaping your justice?
Listen, I don't want to sound the alarm here, but you better nip this knife stuff in the bud.
Yeah.
You never know what that's going to lead to later in life.
It's a mechanical pencil.
Yeah, he's not actually carrying a jackknife.
What if he starts carving into your car?
Yeah, he touches the windows, and that drives me nuts with his little hands.
The little guy's afraid he's getting into heaven. I think this one will stick.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you need to be stricter.
Do you?
Grounding.
All right. We'll see when your grandkids show up. Before the show starts, you're talking with this huge smile on your face about your goddaughter's birthday party coming up. Oh, crack the whip, Andrea over here.
And she broke the coffee pot before coffee. And I went, it's okay.
Of course you did. 6:32. Headlines coming up, and then Doc Moe, 720 WGN.
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Most right now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Good morning, Dr. Most.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Fine. Hope you had a nice weekend.
Yeah, finally, the weather nice enough to play golf, which was nice. So.
And did you?
I did. I played yesterday with Brother Brad, so we had a fun time.
I understand you and the brothers will be making a trip this week.
Yes, hopefully, with all the Southwest flights being canceled, but hopefully we will. We're going to get down to Pinehurst and play golf for, you know, 3 or 4 days.
Doc likes his brothers, and his brothers like Doc more than most families do. They're a delightful family, and I am. Doc will back me up on this, I hope. I am the unofficial most brother.
Oh, yeah, you definitely are honorary.
I have honorary most brother status.
Yes.
Do you hyphenate, or are you just Cochran space most?
Oh, they're not giving me a name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, they're giving me names, but none that could be said here. Yeah. So, but anyway, I hope you have a great trip. All right, so listen, this Danny Farquhar story is horrible. This is a professional athlete and a kid with three kids of his own. I say kid because I'm old, but he has this aneurysm in his brain. So why don't we start with this? What's an aneurysm?
Right. So in simple terms, if you think about our circulatory system, we have veins and arteries. Arteries take the blood from the heart and bring it out to the body under a lot of high pressure. That's why we have blood pressure to allow it to pump out. Veins then return it. The artery is a pretty thick-walled tube, but unfortunately, some people have a defect in that tube where it thins a little bit. And unfortunately for Danny, this happened to be in his brain. And as the pressure continues, that defect continues to like balloon out, essentially, and the wall thins to a point where eventually the wall is so thin that it can't handle the pressure of the heart beating and it bursts.
All right. So visually, if we picture this, the balloon piece is the important part of the visual to me. Is it looks like a normal artery that we think we know what it looks like. It looks like a hose with a bubble in it.
Correct. That's exactly it. That's exactly the visualization of this.
All right. So he has this happen on Friday night. He appeared to be upright and walking, and then he wasn't. Is that because the bleeding gets to a point where the brain starts to shut everything down?
Yeah. When it happens, it happens on a dime. So when he went down, I think he had some vomiting, and when he went down, that's when it occurred. And you know, fortunately, he was in a situation and a position that many others who have this condition aren't. He had paramedics there who could, you know, great healthcare workers that could evaluate him quickly. He had an ambulance waiting for him right there. And he had Rush University, one of the top neuro hospitals in the country, you know, not too far away. So he just had as far as timing and, you know, our thoughts and prayers are out to him, but he has the best chance of most people who had this happen.
Can you call this a stroke? Is that a definition of a stroke?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, there's two types of strokes. We have strokes that are called thrombotic or embolic, where there's a blockage in the artery so that blood can't go to the brain. And then there's this one, which is called a hemorrhagic, where the blood vessel bursts and we bleed into the brain. So those are the two types of strokes. 90% of strokes are the type where there's a blockage. There's only 10% of these strokes.
And unfortunately, he's in the 10.
Yep.
All right. So this is the scary part. There's no symptoms that lead up to this?
No. You know, very few people have symptoms. Some people might have a slight headache and then go to see the doctor. Some people might have some blurred vision and go see the doctor. But even that, the test that needs to be done is essentially an angiogram of the brain. And if you're fortunate enough to have a situation where we do see it, there's different ways to treat it. But for the vast majority of these, there's not. For the bleeding ones, the other ones you probably remember we've talked a lot about. TIAs or mini strokes, those are the signs that a bigger stroke may be coming on from the blockage side, not the bleeding side.
All right. Well, Andre and Dave have questions for you. We'll come back and do those in a second. Talking about Danny Farquhar, the Sox pitcher, with Dr. Kevin Most. Suffered an aneurysm that bursts and suffers a stroke and is fighting for his life. And we'll keep you up to date throughout the day with that. But Andre and Dave, jump in here.
Doc, I'm curious, can this happen to anyone? I mean, are any of us at risk for something like this happening? Or is this do you have a predisposition to this? Or is it hereditary?
Yeah, Andre, the unfortunate thing is that some of these are congenital. And this one, if I was guessing, I would say this is congenital, because the other people who have a predisposition to this are people with chronic high blood pressure, where they're just putting so much pressure on these arteries that it's going to find a weakened point eventually. That usually happens in people well into their 60s, 70s, 80s. You know, he is 31 years old. This was probably a congenital thing that he had his entire life and never knew it.
And there's just no way to stop that. I mean, it was going to happen.
Correct. Like I said, the only way to stop it is to get lucky and have symptoms where a test is done where they find that you have one. And then when they do that, now we have technology where we actually go into the brain and we fill that little pouching with metal coils so that stops the blood flow and stops the pressure up against that wall to prevent that from bursting.
That's incredible.
But It's actually amazing what they can do right now.
Is there any evidence, Doc, that physical stress could bring it on more quickly? And he had just pitched in the game. I think people have always wondered, you know, if you lift something really heavy and you were predisposed to it, could that trigger it?
You hit it right on the head there, Dave. That's exactly what happens is we get to a point where the wall is thin enough, and now we increase the pressure for some reason, whether it's physical activity, like you said, lifting something, whether it's just bad high blood pressure. But usually it's going to be that time where the wall is fine, and now all of a sudden we put more stress on it with increased blood pressure for any reason, whether it's physical activity or just bad high blood pressure, and it will burst. But certainly some of the physical activity we do, our blood pressure definitely goes higher.
A listener called about a triple A and abdominal aneurysm. Is that different?
Yes. Well, that's in the stomach instead. So our aorta, actually, not only do we get, you know, send blood to our brain, but we send it to the rest of our body as well. So in the aorta, we have aneurysms as well, and those can get to be quite large. Those are often, I shouldn't say often, but sometimes they're found prior to it rupturing because people have back pain, they have a tearing sensation, they have abdominal pain. We go in and we do a CAT scan and we see that that one's occurring, and sometimes those can be treated with stent grafts and other things, but those, if they rupture, that's obviously a bigger blood vessel, and those can be devastating.
The only thing we can warn listeners about with this is what? Don't ignore symptoms and the light that goes off inside you that says, I may have a problem here?
Yeah. You got to remember, we have 800,000 strokes a year. 90% of those are the embolic ischemic strokes. Those are the ones we talked about with TIAs. And those are the ones where we have this golden hours of opportunity to treat those. So it really is. It's more about awareness. And we've talked in the past, the acronym FAST, the acronym FASTER, very simple things. And if you notice them, this isn't something, well, let's put grandma to bed and let's see, you know, if her weakness gets better tomorrow. No, this is get into the hospital. And we'll just go over those quickly. It's F. It's facial drooping. Ask the person to smile. If one side of their face doesn't go up, then definitely get in. Some people say, well, wait, I had Bell's palsy, and that's it. That's true. It can happen with Bell's palsy, but you don't want to risk that it's something as simple as that. A is for arm weakness or asymmetric weakness. Do you see a difference in their arm strength? S can either be for speech or for stability. Are they dizzy? Are they walking? Do they have difficulty walking or difficulty with their coordination? T is for talking or time, depending on whether you use faster. Do they have slurred speech or do they have inability to talk or communicate with you? E is eyes. Do they have difficulty seeing or blurred vision? And probably the most important one is R or T is react. Call 911 immediately. Get that individual in.
Dave?
The procedure that was performed on Danny Farquhar to relieve swelling on the brain,
yep.
is that generally used in this kind of a situation?
Yeah. So you got to remember the brain is, you know, held into the skull. So anytime we have additional pressure that's put on that, it has nowhere to go. And you don't want it to go down because then it causes the brain to essentially move. So they could have done a couple things. They may have put a tube in to decrease some of the cerebral spinal fluid. So a drain, essentially, that's taking some of this excess fluid that's not needed. And they actually may even have removed a portion of his skull to allow some of the swelling. Right now, what you want to do is get that swelling to come back down and get the brain back to its normal size. So what they're doing is absolutely textbook of let's make sure that the swelling does not cause any further problems.
Both CDH and Rush have tremendous stroke centers. Are there hospitals on board in developing theirs?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we CDH, you know, Northwestern CDH and Rush have a couple unique things. You know, we have mobile stroke units. So we have essentially ambulances with CTs in them that go to homes where people are thinking that they're having a stroke, which has allowed us to decrease the amount of time that the clot-busting drug is started. And then also, if it's a bleed in this case, we have the OR team ready by the time the patient gets here. So it's all about decreasing that time. There are a lot of great stroke centers, and as we start to see more and more strokes, you're starting to see more hospitals get advanced. We're very fortunate to have very talented doctors both here downtown. Rush has great doctors as well that can go in and do those coilings into the brain. So you're starting to see more and more of it, but people in Chicago should be feel very blessed that they have the assets that they do for stroke care.
630, great topic with Dr. Most. I had a mini stroke in June of 2017. I fully recovered. My older brother had a massive stroke in 2016 and is disabled. So there is family lineage to this stuff.
Yes, a lot of it is family lineage, and a lot of it is lifestyle as well. You know, again, strokes to the brain are kind of like strokes to the heart. So, heart attacks. So, you know, good diet, keeping your blood pressure under control, doing all those things. So about 80% of strokes actually are, I would say, preventable with lifestyle changes and just acting right.
Do we all have aneurysms throughout our body and we're just lucky they don't go?
Yeah, probably are. We probably have little mini aneurysms in many places because you can't have complete uniformity of your artery system the entire way. But people that keep their blood pressure under control, it's never going to put the stress on that that's going to make it increase in size. So it's going to be totally asymptomatic. But there's probably a lot more aneurysms out there that we don't even know about.
It's Dr. Kevin Most. Thanks for all this. By the way, a lot of people are asking, and I don't mock the question, is he going to play baseball again? He's got the number one concern here is he going to live?
Yep.
Keep this young man alive, and then we'll deal with all that after. But the question is obvious because of who he is.
Yeah, and really, you know, all our thoughts and all our prayers should be going out to Tim and his family. I mean, that's he's in a tough place right now, but you take a strong athlete like this and someone who can fight, and hopefully his rehab will go fine.
Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you. Enjoy your week, and I hope you get a chance to get to Pinehurst and have some fun with the brothers. But hold the line for us just a second, if you would.
Yep.
Stand by, Dr. Most. And at 7 o'clock, I can't say he's here yet, but the great Peter Greenberg is going to be joining us.
Yes.
The legend in Chicago. Why could he possibly be here? Could there be something major going on tonight? We'll find out. Stand by. 7 o'clock, news next. 720 WGN.
I'm Peter Greenberg, and this is Rwanda, the Royal Tour.
All right, 7:14. My friend Peter Greenberg's here. PeterGreenberg.com. Everything you ever needed to know about travels there. Peter, when was the last time you were in London?
About 3 weeks ago.
Thought so. But this baby is not yours.
You know what? I go from city to city denying paternity. That's my job.
Exactly right. Paul Coy joins us live from London. It's a boy!
It's a boy! I'm in the car! I've got to return a load of pink balloons! It's a disaster! What am I going to do? It's a boy! I was told it was going to be a girl! I'm going to have to change everything!
Well, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry to hear that. Do we know a name yet? Are they going with Angus or Barnaby? What are we going with?
Well, no. I mean, today, it's pretty obvious because today is St. George's Day, which is our English National Day. So the name will be Steve.
Okay, of course it will be. Makes total sense. What about Fletcher? Fletcher? No Fletcher? We haven't had a Fletcher in a while.
Fletcher's a second name. We don't have any kids named Fletcher. It's just never used as a first name here. I don't know anybody called Fletcher. No, not going to be Fletcher. Be the first Fletcher in this country. We don't have any Fletchers.
Okay, easy. Back it down. Listen, return your balloons. We will need to be checking back with you periodically as more announcements come in. And good luck with the pink balloon return, but thank you.
Thank you. I'll have everything for you tomorrow.
Right. That's Paul Coit live from London.
That's awesome.
I tell you, they make cute kids. Oh, that little boy is as cute as it gets.
Next how about to, little Charlotte? Ooh,
yeah,
so cute.
Next to Abigail Grace and your grandchild, Mary.
Exactly.
7:15, Peter Greenberg's here. What are you doing in town?
I'm in town because, in addition to what I do on CBS, I actually host and produce a special show, the series called The Royal Tour. I've been doing it for 17 years, where I go to individual sitting heads of state, kings, presidents, prime ministers, and I actually get them to give me 6 days of their schedule unencumbered. That in itself is unheard of.
You brought the Ecuadorian president in.
We were right in the studio here.
Yeah, yeah.
And then for the next 6 days, that king, president, or prime minister is my personal tour guide for the country for a one-hour special on PBS, and of course our lead station, WTTW, right here in Chicago.
So a premiere tonight.
We're doing the premiere tonight at the Union League. It actually goes on the air Thursday night right here on WTTW, okay. And it is the Royal Tour of Rwanda. Wow. And let me tell you, having traveled the world, I have not seen a country with this kind of remarkable transformation in my entire life.
There's a country that politically was upside down.
It was a failed state. It was a failed state. 24 years ago, probably the worst genocide in our lifetime.
Right.
In 1994, over a 100-day period, 1.2 million people were just slaughtered. So at the end of that, you have a failed state, essentially a cemetery, and in comes a guy who fought to stop the genocide. His name is Paul Kagame. He does, and then 2 years later runs for president, wins in a landslide. He's been president ever since. Now you have the healthiest economy in Africa, the cleanest country, the most environmentally responsible country, built on reconciliation. They've got the highest enrollment in primary and secondary schools. They're a pioneer in medical stuff. You may have seen the 60 Minutes piece we did. They've developed all the drones to deliver medical supplies everywhere.
Yep.
And of course, they've got the mountain gorillas.
Yeah.
So, you know, going back to the days of Dian Fossey.
Yeah.
So this is an amazing country, the size of the state of Massachusetts. Most people, when you think Rwanda, they think genocide in the movie Hotel Rwanda. So we've really come in nearly a quarter of a century later into this remarkable transformation. And the president will be here tonight as well.
What most surprised you about what was something that you learned about the culture, not the war-torn part of it, but and the rebuilding, but about the culture?
Yeah, what blew you away?
What blew me away might surprise you, it surprised me, is that every week, on their own and enthusiastically, every Rwandan goes outside their house with brooms and they clean the country. And they do it happily. And it's like,
how about that?
Wow.
How about that?
And they banned plastic bags years ago. If you show up at the airport with one of those duty free bags or a shopping bag, they ask you to have the bag, they cut it in half, and they give you a fabric bag.
Wow.
I mean, these guys are like cutting edge.
All right. So how do we avoid the traditional power corrupt cycle here? How is Mr. Kagame, President Kagame, going to be different?
Well, as I've learned all these many years, our definition of Western democracy is not many other people's definition
right.
of democracy. And the same thing applies in Africa. It took a strong man to turn this country around. It takes a strong man to keep it going. You know, it's interesting. He won the last election with 98% of the vote. And I sat with him and I said, Mr. President, with all due respect, if somebody in my country won an election with 98% of the vote, the election would be nullified and somebody would go to prison.
Right.
And he looked at me and he said, let me tell you something. I'm here because people like me, and I've seen elections in your country when people won the election with 10% of the vote, and it should have been nullified.
Right.
So it's a different way to look at things. But the fact is, how about this? 58% of the members of parliament are women.
I was just going to ask you about women, if they're
unbelievable
to vote.
I mean,
apparently they are.
They are.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm watching this, and I can't really argue with the progress. We might want to argue a little bit with the methodology, but when you look at the final product, you got to look at these guys and say, wow. I mean, the healthiest economy in Africa. By the way, he was just elected the president of the African Union. That means he's in charge of all 54 countries. I mean, this is a cool thing. Anyway, he's here tonight.
Very cool, sorry.
Yeah, he's here tonight for the actual premiere at the Union League. And then, of course, Thursday night on WTTW, we actually run the show.
A texter wants to know if we can get all of the episodes. Can we binge watch Peter Greenberg?
You can go through WTTW. They have, because it's pledge week time, it's a public television station. And by the way, we take no money from the government. We take no money from the tourist board. Our underwriters are independent corporations that just want to support the country. So check with WTTW. They have all the shows.
This is phenomenal publicity for Rwanda in country, where there's a lot of corporate heads who will be watching PBS who can go, well, wait a minute, what about investment? So what do they have that the rest of the world wants?
Well, they have tourism. And they have tourism in a way that hasn't been corrupted yet. They have tourism in a way that hasn't been over-touristed. If you want to go see the gorillas, you have to spend $1,500 for a permit, because they limit the number of people who go. But here's the cool part. Where does that money go? 10% of that money goes right back to the communities. And most of the game wardens and guides right now are former poachers. They've turned that around.
Wow.
Because they've made it economically possible for them to see a different way to go. So
that's incredible.
Yeah.
China has a tremendous influence in Africa, and it's not all positive. Do they have influence in Rwanda?
They have influence all over Africa, you're right. China is a huge consumer. They're a huge builder. I mean, when you take a look at where China is one of the largest consumers of concrete and cement.
Mm-hmm.
So they're building everywhere, whether it's train and infrastructure. It's all about infrastructure, and
mm-hmm.
that's what they're doing. And many African leaders will, of course, accept that because it builds their country. However, you've got to do that responsibly as well.
And is any of this spilling over? over by way of, look what they're doing in Rwanda, let's do it here in other African countries?
I wish I could tell you that it's happening fast that way. It's not. You're still dealing with power bases there that are not necessarily beneficial to their people. I mean, if you take a look at where Rwanda is, it's surrounded by Uganda, which, by the way, Winston Churchill called the Pearl of Africa for good reason. It's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. But still, you had a dictator there for many years, Museveni. Who, by the way, the story of Paul Kagame is he was a Rwandan refugee living in Uganda at the age of 4 and rose up through the ranks of the Ugandan military to be deputy chief of intelligence. They all thought he was Ugandan. He wasn't. And where did they send him to study? The United States of America to Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, right about the time the genocide started. So here he was in Kansas, was seeing this going on at home, and he goes to his superior officers who are American and say, there are two things I need to tell you. Number one, I'm not Ugandan, I'm Rwandan. Number two, I'm going home to fight. And he took his training manuals from the United States, used those manuals, went back, built an army, and the rest is history.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Fort Leavenworth because everybody thinks of the prison. Fort Leavenworth is one of the most effective military psyops bases in the world and officer training facilities in the world.
It's funny because the president of Rwanda, Paul Kagame, still has a Kansas driver's license.
Oh, my gosh. No way.
Stick around. More with
Peter. Can you imagine that when he gets carded?
No. More with Peter coming up in a second. PeterGreenberg.com. And again, it will be premiere time tonight and then Thursday night, the premiere of Rwanda, the Royal Tour.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
PeterGreenberg.com, Thursday night, WTTW Channel 11, the premiere of Rwanda, the Royal Tour, featuring the amazing story of Paul Kagame, president of Rwanda. So I want to travel to Rwanda. How do I do it?
Well, it's pretty easy to do it. If you take a look at where it is, it's in Central Eastern Africa. It's between Burundi and Uganda and the Congo, and you can fly through London. You can the easiest way to do it, believe it or not, is to fly through either Amsterdam, because KLM still flies there. By the way, you know why KLM still flies there?
Mm-mm.
Let's face it, Rwanda used to be a Belgian colony,
okay,
and that's how they did it. Or you can fly through Istanbul, Turkish Air. People don't realize Turkish Air flies to more destinations than anywhere else in the world. And if you don't mind going,
do you love it as an airline?
I do. They do a great job. I had to go from Sao Paulo to Buenos Aires a couple of weeks ago. I flew Turkish Air. Who knew they were flying there?
No kidding.
Yeah.
By the way, I've never asked you this in all the years we've been friends. What's your favorite airline?
I can't give you one. I can only give you my favorite airline by route. You tell me the route, I'll tell you the favorite airline.
How about favorite airport?
Oh, I got a couple of those. Incheon in Korea is unbelievable. Singapore, of course, is unbelievable. All the Asian airports are unbelievable. They just get it. They get it right.
Clean, customer service, all that?
Everything. And they're well-designed, right? In the United States, anytime you see an airport, this is my warning to everybody. Every time you see an airport, like Charlotte and some other airports, that have these little cute rocking chairs there, and they're always, isn't that cute? And people, oh, isn't that lovely? Mm-hmm. You know what the rocking chair says to you? You're going to be here a while.
Otherwise, you don't need a rocking chair.
Why would you have the rocking chair?
Any thoughts on the O'Hare expansion?
You know what? I'll wait for it in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of the smaller airports. I'm still a big fan of Midway.
What was the little airport you guys were talking about off the air?
Oh, we were talking about Toronto.
Oh, Billy Bishop Airport. Billy Bishop Airport in Toronto is the cute. It's a boutique. And there's this one airline that flies there called Porter Air. They fly the QC-400s, you know, turboprop and stuff. But they fly from Newark. They fly from here. And you land at this little airport, and it's sort of like it's Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. You know, you land there, and it's a little island, literally walking distance to downtown Toronto. And it's on an island. And the fares are okay. It's great.
Interesting.
You feel very special, you know. And it's a whole lot better than going all the way out to Pearson in Toronto and trying to fly.
Yeah. Question. Just generic travel question. I was in Orlando a month ago.
Yeah.
And we, on a golf trip, went through a couple of tolls because we didn't have change. I tried to make 3 phone calls to find out, well, I'll give you a credit card so we can take care of these tolls.
Right.
Nobody would do anything. Then, of course, I started getting notices. My American Express card got whacked for $2, $3, $4, right, and $34 service charges.
Yep.
To process the tolls. Is this a Florida thing or is this a national thing?
No, it's a national thing. I'll go one step further. You mentioned Orlando. 80% of the hotels there charge a resort fee.
Most
draconian, crazy piece of you-know-what ever invented to generate revenue secretly. Okay. So for anybody listening here, first of all, what is a resort fee? It's a way to be competitive on rate without telling you what it's really going to cost you, right? So they'll advertise a room for $149, but it's $30 a night resort fee. You're there for five nights. That's another $150.
Yep.
And what does the resort fee get you? What you normally would get at any hotel, a towel. Yeah. You know,
can you ask to have that waived?
Well, you should negotiate to have it waived. Okay. But here's something you never do, and none of you guys do it. When you're at a hotel, what do? You check out, right? You check out in the morning, you race to the airport. When was the last time you reviewed your hotel bill the night before you checked out? Nobody ever does
Zero.
That. Zero. That's where you find the stuff they fail to disclose. And failure to disclose gives you rights.
Yeah.
And you can dispute the charge. Now, if they disclose it when you make your reservation and you agree to it, then you're stuck with it.
So are you a fan of checking out personally?
Oh, I always check. Listen, anytime I see a hotel with a kiosk, that's not progress for me. Anytime you avoid the opportunity for a conversation, you create the need for a bigger conversation.
Right.
I agree. I did that in Vegas, not when we went, but the previous time I went.
Vegas also resort fees. Ridiculous.
Right? They charged me. It was an early check-in, but it was, I arrived an hour beforehand.
Yeah.
So I went down. I said, can you waive that? And she said, sure.
Well, it gets better. We talk about the words resort fee. How about urban hotels, city hotels in Chicago and New York that charge destination fees?
Mm-hmm.
That's another word for resort fee. It's just a way for them to generate revenue without being officially not competitive on price.
Yeah, and not having politicians with the stones to stop it.
Well, it gets worse because in the airline business, right before the Obama administration left, their Department of Transportation issued a rule, which is a great rule, requiring airlines to be totally transparent about what they're really going to charge you, not their official fare, but all the other add-on fees, on the same webpage that they were posting the actual fare. And that was supposed to be enforced by the Department of Transportation, because otherwise you'd have to go to page 5 on the website. Nobody goes to page 5 on the website. And then you find a sticker shock. What's the first thing the Trump administration's DOT does? Waives that rule. So now you got to go to page 5 to find out what you're going to pay to breathe on that plane.
A quick story to wrap it up here. The thrifty rental car store that I was telling you. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that name out loud. A rental car company that rhymes with thrifty.
Shifty?
The Shifty, yeah. The friend of mine who's renting the car had a problem with a chip in his card.
Yeah.
The rental was made. It was prepaid. They wouldn't let me pay for the car to take the car. They had to call in corporately, and we waited another 45 minutes to get the car that was already paid for because they wouldn't take my car to take it. And then we got out and we missed the toll. So do we carry a bag of laundry quarters with us, or when we check in for the rental car, do we just automatically take the toll, whatever the thing is called?
Here's what you do. You made that reservation online, didn't you?
They did. Yes,
okay.
They did.
Anybody listening to this program who goes online to make a reservation is basically in trouble, because only 52% of the available inventory is online. It's only what the travel providers want to make available online. So I know why you do it. You do it because it's 2:00 in the morning. You're in your bathrobe. You don't have to talk to anybody. God forbid you should have a conversation with another human being.
Yeah, those are over.
And in the process of doing that, you're disenfranchising yourself from 48% of what's out there. So what you need to do, I know it's old school, back to the future, pick up phone. Talk to human being, because the internet doesn't think creatively. It only thinks in a linear way.
Right.
And it's amazing what you get. So, for example, I needed to go from New York to Bergen, Norway. Right?
Yeah,
online.
Me too.
Hey, wait. It happens sometimes.
Right.
Online, the cheapest fare was $1,600 coach, with all the major airlines forcing you to fly through their hubs. I get on the phone. I make a phone call. There's an airline called Norwegian Air Shuttle. They fly from New York to Bergen for $303.
Hold on a second. You didn't even know about this? How was there an airline you didn't know about?
Oh, I knew about it. They just weren't online.
Okay, got it. So there's no way you would have found that deal.
I did find it. Then I went online and booked it, but you have to have the conversation first. That could be with a travel agent as well. A human being can help you out, because they don't think in a linear way.
And when you call to book a hotel, talk to the local hotel you're going to, not the 800 number?
Never call the 800 number. That's just a clearinghouse. But when you call the hotel, don't ask for reservations. They'll just reroute you back to the 800 number. Ask to speak to the MOD, the manager on duty, or the director of sales, because those are the people who know their inventory. If the Schmidlap wedding just canceled last night, we all know the Schmidlaps know what's and 60 rooms suddenly became available. That's not going to show up on the website or on their systems, but they'll know about it, because an unsold hotel room is revenue they'll never recoup once the sun rises. You're in the driver's seat, but wait, we're not done yet. It's not about the rate at the hotel. It's about the questions you need to ask. Can my kids stay free? Can they eat free? Will you throw in free Wi-Fi? Will you get rid of that dreaded resort fee? And will you throw in free parking? If you don't ask those questions, you look like you got a great rate, and get ready for sticker shock.
Yeah, and the worst thing they can say is no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But Never take a no from somebody who's not empowered to give you a yes in the first place.
Yeah, manager on duty.
There you
M-O-D.
go.
PeterGreenberg.com. Remember Peter's slogan, the greatest thing I've ever heard about travel. Airlines? They're not happy until we're not happy. I have told that story a million times. I love that slogan. Thank you, buddy. It's great to see you. And congratulations on Rwanda, the Royal Tour, the eighth in a long line of Peter Greenberg specials. That apparently, if you get a hold of somebody at Channel 11, you might even be able to binge watch because it's Pledge Week. Take care of Channel 11. Keep them going.
You got it. That's, and this Thursday night it airs.
All right, and we'll see you in Rwanda. That's something I don't say very often.
Rwanda, Illinois.
Thank you, man.
You got it,
Steve. All right, headlines next, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Come get it, babe. Come get it, babe. Come get it, babe. Come get it, babe.
Steve Cochran, I'll stop now. Monday afternoons with Abigail Grace. She stayed with us this weekend, and well, her parents were there too. And you know, she and I have our Monday afternoons together. Mm-hmm. So you know, I tell you, big thing going on right now. There's a big thing going on right now. Right now, you got to find out where Mickey Mouse's playhouse is.
Oh.
Yeah, because it pops up all over the place.
Mm.
There it is. So you got to keep watching. Got to keep watching. Any given time, it could pop up.
Do you think there's going to be any hard feelings though between you and Abigail Grace because of last week's standoff?
No, we seemed fine this weekend. She couldn't get enough of Pops.
Okay,
what'd you say, Mary?
Said my grandbaby loves that Mickey Mouse show. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh,
she's. Oh, what's funny is at 2.5, the wiring popping every week.
Yeah.
I mean, she's putting together paragraphs now, you know, and all this stuff. And, yeah, we spent a lot of time looking for Mickey Mouse's playhouse. Is it playhouse? I think it's playhouse. I better get my terminology right.
Yeah. She loves it, though.
She'll correct you.
Nothing but fun.
Yes, she will.
And that's actually maybe by tomorrow. She's got some lovely pink glasses she wears now.
Very nice.
Yeah, very stylish.
She's trendy.
Yeah. The grandkid thing came up earlier today because Sandberg's parents completely let her stepson off the hook for carving a smiley face, allegedly, into a family heirloom table. So the text question, which continues, as a grandparent, what do you let your grandkids get away with that you would have had your own children jailed for? 810 area code. I'm 28. I've got a 9-month-old baby. You guys are scaring me thinking about what my parents and in-laws are doing when I'm not around. Well, yes, that's what we do. 708 took my 9-year-old grandson out for breakfast yesterday. He wanted to order hot dogs, fries, and a Coke, but we changed it to chocolate chip pancakes because we're tough on them.
That's funny.
Facebook folks chiming in as well. Facebook, Steve Cochran Show. On Twitter, you can follow me at Cochran Show and chime in too. But in regards to the desk, the family table that was allegedly carved by young Patrick Boyle, Kathy writes, our desk, previously owned by my husband's family, had hearts and initials carved into the top. Mm. So we encouraged the girls to do the same. Then we covered it with a glass top. And Deborah chimes in as well. Now it has a family story.
There you go.
So we're not supposed to be tough. We're the grandparents, man. Come on.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
And by the way, when I don't act like I know what's going on the show, it's just because I don't know what's going on in the show. I just want people to understand that. Ryan Nobles joins us from CNA. Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Happy Monday.
Hope you had a nice weekend.
Yeah, not bad. No complaints. Our weather sounds like it's a lot better than your weather. So,
What do you got? You got 70 today? What do you got?
We're going to get close to 70. We're at least in the 60s. It actually feels like spring, which usually we go from the dead of winter to 95 degrees. So I can't complain about that.
Yeah, I think we're similar. We're going to be 10 degrees shy of that, but we have broken out of what I like to call, hell for about a month. All right. So this weekend, we had a very moving goodbye to Barbara Bush. On all counts, I thought President Trump made the absolute right choice not to be there. It's not an unprecedented choice. We saw it before when first ladies or former first ladies passed. But having said that, boy, Melania sure looked like she was having a good time.
Yeah, that picture of all of the former first families with Melania was definitely something that caught the internet by fire over the weekend. She looked like she fit in with that group, that's for sure. And you contrast that with her husband, who had one of his most active Twitter weekends of his presidency, which is saying a lot. I mean, he tweeted almost 25 times about a variety of different topics, including the special counsel investigation and some other things. You know, I just think that, you know, there was a level of civility and kind of respect that you saw at Barbara Bush's funeral, and not exactly the kind of things that we're seeing coming out of the administration right now.
The weirdest tweet of the weekend, and I don't think anybody's talking about this, is just randomly out of nowhere, he typed, "A complete witch hunt!" And that was the entire tweet.
I know. And doesn't that make you wonder what's going through his mind when something like that happens? Is he just sitting in a room by himself? Is he watching cable news? Has he gotten a briefing on something
exactly
that makes him unhappy?
Yeah.
And the first thing he decides to do is just reach for his phone and fire that off. I mean, everybody knew what he was talking about. He didn't need to provide that much context, but you're right. It just came out of the blue, and it was definitely one of the most unique tweets of the weekend.
All right, let me jump to another story here before we jump back to the president and all the things that are going on. Sean Hannity may or may not be in trouble, but we now know that he's part of some organization that might have $90 million in investments in real estate and a shell company that is overseeing all of that. Why was he trying to hide it, and is he in trouble for it?
Well, I think more than anything, what this shows is that, you know, Sean Hannity is somebody that, you know, decries people that aren't transparent, at least if they're someone who are from an opposing political view as him. And it's clear that he's got a lot to hide, you know, not only in his legal representation, but in his financial investments and the like. And, you know, he is a private citizen for all intents and purposes. He's not an elected official. He doesn't necessarily have to provide all this information to the public, but when he throws himself into the public arena and he mixes it up, so to speak, in some of these big debates of the day, there's probably some responsibility on his part to be as forthright as he can about some of these topics. So, you know, I don't know the full details of it, of this whole real estate venture. You know, I saw some conservatives this morning rushing into his defense, saying that, you know, these were just standard investments and he was taking advantage of the fact that he has an entrepreneurial spirit. But it certainly raises questions, and if he's somebody that's not afraid to attack other people on a whole laundry list of issues, he probably needs to make sure his house is in order, and there seems to be an opening here for some of his critics.
No, he's a complete hypocrite. I mean, look, he is. He's an absolute hypocrite. He's not a journalist. He's a talk show host. He's called himself an opinion journalist. No, you're not. You're a talk show host, and you're a talk show host that doesn't abide by any traditional rules of journalism. And, you know, karma's a bitch. And when karma catches up to you, you got to pay the freight.
Right.
Yeah, and I always thought the difference between Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh was that, you know, Limbaugh always made it clear that he, you know, is someone that sits on one side of the fence. He actually, you know, fights back the idea that he is a journalist. He's always described himself as a talk show host. So when you listen to Rush, you know where you're coming from. And it seems as though Hannity, in some respects, likes to have it both ways. You know, when he wants to be a talk show host, he's a talk show host. But when he wants to supposedly break a story with sources, now he's a journalist. And I think viewers can see through that to a certain extent. I mean, he's still a very popular talk show host. He still has very impressive ratings. I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon. But, you know, you're starting to see this level of criticism start to build. And sometimes, you know, when those things start to build up, it's tough to dig out from underneath that.
You know, when it comes to Fox News, Shepard Smith may be the last journalist on Fox News with his daily hour. And Brett Baer, I think, makes the effort as well. But other than that, forget about it.
Well, I mean, I don't want to get too far into the CNN versus Fox News conversation.
Well, it's my words, yeah. Not yours. And certainly CNN has opinion journalists in spots as well.
Yeah. But I should say that I work with a lot of Fox News correspondents on a regular basis who are extremely hardworking journalists who go out there with the goal of telling a story fairly and accurately.
Sure.
I mean, John Roberts, who's their White House correspondent, certainly has a track record of doing that.
Yep.
So I just think that, you know, and this is where I think we all are, you know, victim to this to a certain extent, you know, that blurred line between opinion and fact-based journalism it has gotten a little hazy across the board. And, you know, I think we need to be very clear about when we're giving an opinion versus when we are trying to report facts. And because I don't think the average everyday viewer is necessarily looking at it with that critical of an eye. And I think we all, you know, it hurts journalism, you know, in totality when we're not making that clear when we go out and present those ideas as such.
Brian, Michael Cohen question for you. Prosecutors could potentially be threatening him with a long prison term if he doesn't cooperate. So ABC, I think, worded it really well this week, and they said they're engaged in an epic battle for the soul and cooperation of Michael Cohen. Do you think he'll talk?
I mean, that's the big question, isn't it? I mean, I think that he has become the most important figure in this entire drama. And the big question is Michael Cohen, you know, is he going to be the type of person that's willing to throw everything away to protect Donald Trump? And he certainly may be that person. But I think when he's confronted with the reality of possibly a prison sentence, possibly his family being in some sort of danger, financial or otherwise, I think this is going to be a very hard conversation for him to have. And the other thing is, you know, I think that at the end of the day, everyone is ultimately motivated by their own self-interest. And I think that, you know, Michael Cohen was loyal to Donald Trump for a long time, in part because it certainly helped his self-interest. He became a wealthy man because of association with Donald Trump. Things are very different now. You know, he has the possibility of losing it all. And I think the big thing, and I think you've seen this with some of other, you know, of Trump associates who've kind of stepped away, you know, Sam Nunberg being a good example of this. When they start to view the situation in totality and say, you know, is this really a person that's worthy of me to fall on the sword for? That's where I think Michael Cohen's going to have a difficult conversation with himself. He's going to have to look in the mirror and say, you know, is it worth it for me to throw all of this away for this particular person? And maybe it is. Maybe Michael Cohen knows something about Donald Trump that we don't. But I don't think there's any doubt that the role he plays in the special counsel investigation could be what makes or breaks Donald Trump's future. It's that important, I think.
Ryan Nobles, we're jammed on time today, but thank you for the information as always. And get out there and cover something, huh? Come on.
All right. I'll be on CNN in 15 minutes. So not that I'm trying to steal away your viewers, but.
No. Please. I'll plug you anytime. Thanks, buddy. We'll come back with Dean in a moment. He's back from a couple of days wherever he was. And Joe, get to know Joe, the new anchor at 9. And well, the new anchor, the new main anchor at Channel 9.
Mm-hmm, Joe Donlan.
He's at noon, 12:14, 12:41, you know, all day long. No, he starts at what time?
4? 4 o'clock, yeah.
4 o'clock news? Mm-hmm. So 4. Or is it 4 or 5?
Four.
Five.
There's five. A four.
Yeah, but
oh,
he's
you're right. Ben and Lourdes do the four. Sorry, Ben and Lourdes.
Yeah, Ben waking up this morning going, what happened to me?
Wait, what?
So we'll be on at 5, 9, and 10. And we'll talk to Joe before 9 o'clock as well. And I have White Sox tickets all coming up after this on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Good morning, Dean.
Excuse me.
Good morning, Dean.
Pardon me?
Good morning.
What's the matter?
I don't know. I guess I'm all right. My voice is a little weak today, but I think I'll be fine. Don't worry.
I don't want to worry. Gargle with some lemon and honey.
That's how I usually start my day. A little lemon and honey gargling. Hey, I was at a great appearance this weekend, which I want to mention here. It's called Tuskegee Next.
Ooh.
This is Saturday night. At the big 2018 Red Tail Ball. If you paid attention in history class, you'll know the Tuskegee Airmen. The Tuskegee Airmen were a group of African-American, advanced, trained aviators.
Yeah, the real deal.
The real deal, and they were actually put into a program to be tested to see what the effects of syphilis would have on soldiers, and also to prove that black pilots would be inferior to white pilots and they had no business in the cockpit. Of course, history shows that it was just an abject failure by the racism that existed in the service ranks at that point. And the Tuskegee Airmen went on to be one of the groups that saved the world for democracy. So Saturday night, it was an effort to honor the past and also pay it forward with Tuskegee Next. And my friend Steve Davis, introduced to us by our mutual friend Pat Brady, who's a big supporter to Tuskegee Knicks, pilot himself. He was out there. Dean, what they do is they take kids who are at risk in homes or neighborhoods who want to work. They give them education funds, and they teach them how to be pilots.
Well, that's amazing.
It's incredible. It really is incredible. So you'll appreciate this as an MC. So I'm standing up there, and I'm MCing, and I want to recognize the fact that we have two of the original Tuskegee Airmen in-house.
Aren't those guys impressive when you meet them?
They're unbelievable.
Like, 90, what have I done with my life?
Zero?
Guys, right?
We've done nothing. 92 and 94, 95 were their ages, I believe. So I'm about to introduce them. And I noticed right in front of me, because, you know, all these fundraisers are the same. You have a riser where the band is, and there's a podium where the MC stands and the people who are in the program. And then what do you have, Dean? You have a dance floor, right, for later in the night?
Right in front of you.
Right, and there's 50 to 75 feet before you get to the tables. Point being, your point of view and your perspective is nothing's going to get by you if you're looking at the stage. So as I'm about to introduce one of the Tuskegee Airmen, one of the originals, I notice a thin African-American gentleman gets up from his table and walks right in front of me. He's headed for the bathroom. It was one of the guys. It's like, I'm 92, and I got to pee.
I'm going to pee when I want to pee.
I saved this country. You keep your mouth shut there, fella.
Sure, he appreciates you bringing it up now.
Well, no, listen, he's not going to mind. And we talked about it there as well. And he was an honor to meet. And an honor to know, and his name is Hollis Cornelius, one of the Tuskegee Airmen, one of the original Tuskegee Airmen who was there on Saturday night. And by the way, thanks to a bunch of great listeners, I got more people coming up to me Saturday night talking about how they love the show, they listen every morning, they don't know what's wrong with Dean, they couldn't have been nicer, so thank you.
I get that same question from my mother.
Yeah, great pictures, by the way, of you guys and the event and the airmen and Pat Brady on Instagram. Very nice pictures.
I've met several of the airmen, maybe some of them who were there the other night. They are just nothing but impressive and so humble.
Yep.
So humble, and, when you try to heap praise on them for what they did and what they endured. I mean, think about that, these guys. When the world was at crisis and in jeopardy, they step up to try to save the world, and what the incredible racism and hatred that they had to endure as a result of it. And now they could not be more charming and
they just walk amongst us. They're not going, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me. Right. They're not looking for a reality show, and they save the world.
They pee when they want to. Yeah.
And by the way, the training...
I hope that's the highlight that they use on your promo announcement today. They pee when they want to. Steve Cochran, mornings, 6 to 10.
It's cute because there's a picture of Steve and Pat Brady and Hollis Cornelius. Yeah. And Hollis is like, you guys are so happy and smiling. And Hollis is like, can you just take the picture? I got a place to be. Look at him.
Hollis going, I got to sit down, man.
You got places to be.
The roots of the Tuskegee Airmen come from Illinois as well, not just trained in Kentucky and in Alabama, but there's a training facility in Illinois known as Chanute Field, where the Tuskegee Airmen got their training as well. So anyway, it's a great story and
awfully
nice people. And Steve Davis, congratulations on all that you've done. We got a royal baby, Dean.
Very cool. I know. Born fast. Like in 20 minutes this morning.
Man, she's got stuff to do. Mom had stuff to do. She got two other kids.
She went into labor, ordered a Domino's pizza, and the baby came before the pizza did.
Right. The only way it could have been beat if she went to Jimmy John's, because it would have been freaky fast. let's see. Josh Brolin news, Coachella news, R. Kelly news, the passing of Mini-Me, who I'm sure he'd probably prefer to be remembered as Vern Troyer. Number one box office stats from the weekend, and all of that coming up. Stand by, more with Dean Richards in a moment, sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center at 8:19. Oh, I got to say hi to one other person, Mark Rivas, who handling the bags in the front situation at the Bolingbrook Golf Course, where Steve Miller and I played yesterday.
Very nice.
Mark, how are you? Not listening to the score this morning, are you, Mark? Welcome over to the good side.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
We talked to Paul Coit, Dean, earlier.
Yes.
And he was taking the pink balloons back, and he didn't know if he could get a refund. Because the new royal baby is what?
Is a boy.
It's a boy.
It's a boy. Big boy, too, I might add.
Really? How big?
He
is 6 feet.
7 foot tall. He was 8 pounds, 7 ounces.
That is a big boy.
That's a big boy.
We're going to need a bigger crown.
The official announcement, Steve, from Kensington Palace. Her Royal Highness, the Duchess of Cambridge, safely delivered of a son at 11:01 hours. The baby weighs 8 pounds, 7 ounces, which I don't know why they didn't do it metric, because don't they do everything metric there?
I believe his name is Winthorpe Phineas Thurgood. Don't they have some fancy British name they're going to whoop on this kid?
Well, the father is the Duke of Cambridge.
It'd be funny if they just named him Duke.
Duke of Cambridge.
Duke Jr.
Bill Rancic did that, named his son Duke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Queen, the Duke of Edinburgh, the Prince of Wales. I had never heard of this next one. The Duchess of Cornwall?
Yes, yes. It's when you have that painful thing on the bottom of your feet.
Have all been informed, and they are delighted. Big brothers Prince George and Princess Charlotte, ages 4 and 3, were at home at Kensington Palace. Apparently, they just left them by themselves. And the name of the baby boy will be announced in due course, Steve, at the proper moment.
I believe they're going to name the baby Epic. Yes, I think Epic.
The most popular names right now by British oddsmakers, Albert and Arthur.
Oh, don't do it to
come
the kid.
On, no. Yeah,
no, Arthur. Come
well, George
on.
George is bad. You know, he got
no, George is good. George is okay.
George is kind of a hip name.
They already
the
have a George.
Name. Love George.
Well, they got a lot of Georges.
Well, I mean, his brother is George. He can't be.
Yeah.
Well, George
no,
Foreman did that, didn't he?
Yeah.
He named all of his kids George. What? I don't know. What's the problem with Arthur, though?
I don't know. I just can't see like a baby Arthur.
It's
not
a
Albert.
Nerdy.
Oh.
Prince Artie?
Hey,
Prince
baby.
Artie.
Yeah, you know, what happens? The first time he goes to the royal playground, Artie Farty,
yeah,
Farty Artie.
Exactly. No Arthurs.
Anyway, Paul Coit will check in later with information that he alleges to have on the royal baby. He is trying to get into the hospital right now.
I'm sure he'll be able. Shouldn't have any problem whatsoever. Paul Coit dressed up like a janitor trying to
right.
get in the back door.
Yeah, because he works for the story. Vern Troyer died.
Yeah, this is very sad because there have been reports over the last couple of weeks of Vern Troyer, the actor who played Mini-Me in the Austin Powers movies, is where we know him best, passed away. He was only 49 years old, number one, but had been suffering, according to sources close to him, with depression, had attempted suicide.
Really?
There was just one terrible story after another, I would say like the last month or so. They are not saying what the cause of death was regarding this. But he did pass away over the weekend. Mike Myers, who played Austin Powers, said that Vern was the consummate professional, a beacon of positivity for those of us who had the honor of working with him. It's a sad day. I hope he's in a better place. He will be greatly missed.
There is a fancy schmancy dinner tonight, which has some show business sort of ties because celebrities will be there. Who's having dinner?
I knew, Dean, that I don't want to steal your thunder, but I knew you and Steve would both want to know that French President Emmanuel Macron will be having dinner with President Trump and Melania this evening at the White House.
We were invited.
A total French dinner.
Dean and I were invited. They told Dean no clown shoes, and he said, well, then I'm not coming.
I have requested of the presidential chef that this time they do not try to impress me.
I cannot be impressed so easily.
When you go to a state dinner and you are served French toast and French fries, French bread,
right?
It is not fitting of president of La France.
And why must everything be with frog? Frog, frog, frog. Is that a French thing, a frog? I think so.
Frog?
Yes.
They're saying they're not releasing details of the menu, only to say that it will be glitzy.
I will show you glitzy.
So that's tonight at the White House. All right.
Glitzy is the nickname of my wife.
Hey. Speaking of glitzy, Coachella weekend 2?
Beyonce again this weekend. Beyonce weekend number 2. And she pretty much did everything that she did last weekend. Destiny's Child reunion again.
Solange, her sister, performed.
Solange sounds like something I'd take for a sore throat.
Right.
Right? Well, it's not a great name.
I have a sore throat. Do you have a Solange on you?
Yes, exactly.
Solange fell while she was on stage.
Oh, boy. That's
the big video this weekend of her falling and Beyonce running out to help her. Jay-Z did a couple of songs with her. Jennifer Hudson was there, Chicago's very own. So it was a little Dreamgirls reunion as they start together in that movie. But only Jennifer won the Academy Award.
Right.
But they Instagrammed and texted a bunch of pictures. So, you know, looked like they had a nice time.
Speaking of Jennifer Hudson, the music class that she kind of got her start in is featured in an American Family Insurance commercial. And there's a bunch of people in the room, including Jennifer Hudson. And then the teacher is surprised. He comes in and it's a big emotional moment. And it's a nice thing that you don't really understand the context because it's a 30-second spot. And then at the end, they all get together and sing, American Family Insurance. I'm not sure that was covered in the original class. That commercial is weird to me.
Could only have been weirder if Eddie and Jobo had shown up to plug their insurance commercial.
Quiet Place rules the box office.
Yeah, on the phone.
There is Dean news on the death of DJ Avicii. Is that how you pronounce
Avicii?
It?
Avicii. Super popular club DJ who also passed away over the weekend. Officials have ruled out any criminal activity in that. And fans are pouring out in Sweden, his native Sweden. Fans are pouring out to pay tribute to him.
Overdose? What do you think?
They don't know. They do know that he had a history of substance abuse because he talked about it frequently. He suffered from acute pancreatitis as a result of heavy drinking. He said that heavy drinking. He said that he stopped. But he's had a series of medical problems over the last few years. And he was only 28 years old and passed away. But they also have not revealed the cause of death on that yet.
Definitely get famous. It's just such a great life.
Yeah.
And Josh Brolin and Dean and Barbara Streisand were hanging out all weekend with Josh is dead. And Mr. Brolin.
He's the bad guy in the new Avengers movie. So we'll be featuring all those interviews throughout the week and also on my Sunday show this coming weekend. Unless you want to play one now. I don't know. It doesn't look like you have time.
No, it's a little short on time. Yeah. You see the guy that did the, what was the movie with the blue people that made all the money?
Avatar.
Oh, that one, yeah. Who did Avatar, the Titanic guy, James Cameron?
Yes.
James Cameron said he's tired of the Avengers.
Yeah, he's not going to be so tired of when the box office numbers come out on Monday.
Yeah, and thump him.
Why? Because all of his movies are getting kicked out of the Black Panther beat Avatar. Titanic's about to get beaten. This Avengers movie looks like it's on track to beat Black Panther.
I think Avatar is one of the great optical illusions in Hollywood history. I have no idea why that movie made the money it made. I mean, it was okay. Yeah.
It was interesting. I like the 3D. It's one of the very few movies where I like the
3D. I'd rather go see Blue Man Group. If I need to see blue, I'll go see Blue Man Group.
Okay. Let's go.
I'll look in the mirror and I'll hold my breath for half an hour. This didn't work for me.
I would say that I would go with you, but now that I know that you're announcing when people go to pee, I don't think I'm going to hang out with you as much.
Especially because you were a blue man, Dean.
Undercover. Hey, get to know Joe, Dean. It's good for you. He's in studio. You're going to meet him in just a second.
Very nice. He's a very, very nice man.
I'm hearing he's a jerk.
Met him the other day.
That's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing he's nothing but mean.
I mean this as a compliment, but somebody texted the other day that, you know, we've been showing promos of him all week. Get to know Joe, that he starts on WGN TV today. Somebody texted me and said that he looks like Clutch Cargo.
He's a handsome devil, square-jawed handsome devil. Yes, there's no
like
question
Clutch
about
Cargo.
It.
Just like Clutch Cargo.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll talk to Clutch in just a second. Thank you, buddy.
See you.
Joe Dolan in a moment. First headlines next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I've asked Radio Walk of Famer Steve Bertrand to join us now. He was upstairs pretending he was preparing for the day.
A lot to do.
And I've asked Steve to join us because I think it's appropriate that you would help us introduce here on the radio someone you've known for a very long time who will make his debut on Channel 9.
I am so excited that Joe Donlan is here in Chicago and coming to TV. Channel 9 starts today. Joe, welcome.
Not as excited as I am, I can tell you. I drive down the Kennedy every night from WGN into the Chicago skyline, and I can't believe I'm here.
It's pretty great, but there's a question. Oh, 20 yeah. comfortable years at KGW-TV in Portland.
Right.
That can't be easy to leave.
It's not. But this is why I did. Look out the window here at the studio.
Yeah,
I
we mean, like it.
You know,
like
truly, it. Steve, there are a few things that would have gotten me out of Portland, and WGN is one of them. It's a station I grew up watching in St. Louis, and it's just such an iconic place and one of the best cities in the world. I mean, honestly, list another five cities, and I'm not sure I would have taken the
This
offer.
Is fabulous.
And you know, it's a Marquette seat now, that anchor seat at Channel 9, because he succeeds Sapelsa, and we were at school at Marquette together.
What happened to you?
I fell into radio and couldn't get out.
Were you guys tight in school?
We knew. You mean Mark?
No, or you Steve? And you. No, I'm
yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Mark was a year ahead of you, too, so I'm sure he was hazing you whenever he could.
He was a year older. I don't know if he was ahead of us.
Yeah, well, that's fair to say.
He was miles ahead of us. Are you kidding, Steve? We all knew he was
going
places.
But did you guys, you and Bertrand, hang out in college?
Absolutely. We hung out at the College of Journalism.
Right. We had a lot of classes together and hung out with the soccer boys, some of the hockey boys, all of that, yeah.
Right.
Is there anything you'd like to share about each other now?
Absolutely not. No, I can't.
We want some dirt. Bertrand, you go.
I got no dirt on Joe.
Yeah, well, that's good. Then we didn't hang out enough. That's the
this is how you tell those guys. Like I told you, I played golf with my high school best friend yesterday, and we talked to each other twice a year. Mm-hmm. We're making an effort now to get together because we're old. A couple of golf trips here and there. But you guys probably hadn't talked in a while, right?
No. It's been a long time.
And because you're guys, you just drop right back in.
Well, that's the thing. When I saw the news, I reached out on Twitter, I think, because I saw you in Tucson, but that's been 20 years ago.
Right, 20 plus.
But yeah, it is funny. It's like right back, we're dropping names. And
it is. Well, and it helped me, too, because I've been listening to the Mincing Rascals and also the Chicago Way for the last 3 months. When I knew this might be a possibility, I was doing my best to...
I'm impressed with your prep. Dove in, man. I know you love this city, but you dove in. You know, you've been walking around every neighborhood. You've been driving around meeting people.
It's been fantastic. What a landing I've had. Two Sox games, two Cubs games, the Bulls season finale. We did the architecture cruise. I've eaten at Portillo's and had a steak at Gibson's, and we went to the Shed and Soldier Field this weekend.
The tour.
And we apologize for the real team you need to be tied to, because the Blackhawks aren't in the playoffs. But we'll get you hooked up with the Hawks.
I can't wait. I mean, to be back in a major league city and an NHL city, it's just, I like I said, it's almost like an out of body experience for me. I was at an event yesterday with Bob Jordan and Steve Sanders, and these are guys it's I grew guys. Up on. And to look around that room, I've got the chills right now, literally, to be a part of that family, it's just it's hard for me
now
to believe.
It's been a long time since you had a first night newscast. You gonna be nervous tonight?
Someone asked me that. I'm really not, because in the end it's sort of like this. You're in a studio, you're around people you know. I felt comfortable with Micah the minute I sat down with her for the audition, and it's, you know, if I were in front of all the people who will be potentially watching, maybe, but in a studio, I've been doing it for 35 years. If I'm not ready now, I'm in the wrong business.
No, watch Skilling, because Skilling can't be trusted.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. First off, he's a pickpocket.
Okay.
And that's just entertaining.
Well, that's what I've been doing so far. I've been getting coffee for Ben Bradley, and I've been picking up Skilling's laundry, and I've been shining Rome's shoes.
Now, you know Sapelsa, but these are big shoes to fill. And by the way, big shoes, size 16. Yeah, I don't know if you knew that about Mark.
I think in a way it helped me to know Mark, because I realize how big the shoes are for him to fill. We knew at Marquette he was going places. I mean, he was sort of broadcasting's version of the Natural. Even at Marquette, he had salt and pepper hair, you know. he was born to do this and very good at it. And it's, again, an honor for me to, I won't say fill his shoes, because there's no one who'll do that, but to have a seat at that table is an honor.
You know, I think we can reveal this now. If not, I'm just going to do it anyway. He, big fan of yours, and he was pushing for you.
It helped, I'm sure. I talked to Mark a couple of times throughout the process leading up to it. And then after the decision was made, he took off for Panama, I think. And then the only thing he left me in his desk was half a banana, a Twinkie, and a Montana fishing guide.
Nice.
Yeah, because when Mark decided he was leaving, one of the questions I had, because I've known him forever, is what's really going on?
Right.
Because he's still at the top of his game. I guess we should be thrilled with anybody can get out when they want to.
No question. And that was what I said early in the process. I told my wife, I can't imagine they're going to hire a guy who's a year younger than the guy who retired. But Mark retired, luckily, so early. And the biggest check mark against me, to be honest, coming in, was the fact that I wasn't from here. But I think in the end...
Yeah, but you got all sorts of Midwest ties.
Right, exactly. And I think that's what won the day for me in the end. So
I think you'll find, and Steve can certainly disagree with this. He's never disagreed with me before. But this town appreciates talent and commitment and caring about this city. And, you know, you've already shown that. Now, when you tell your wife, I want to move, how'd that go?
Well, she was born here as well. Not as well, but she was born in she was living in Palatine. Their parents were when she was born. And then they left for Dallas. Her dad worked for Armour Foods. And then they moved back and lived in Barrington until she was five or six. And then they moved to Arizona. But technically, she was born here. And she said the other day, let's just put it this way. Moving to Chicago at this point in our lives wasn't exactly on my bucket list.
Yeah.
But I'm thrilled to be going back. So
well, you got to have that support, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And three kids?
Three kids, right. Our oldest lives in St. Louis. Our middle daughter is living with me here. She just wrapped an internship in Chicago, as it turned out. And then our youngest is back in Portland with my wife. She graduates from high school in June, and she'll move out here with us in August. She's going to Notre Dame. So all the stars align. It's amazing.
It's all Midwest, man.
It's awesome.
Every time I see Joe now, and I've seen him a few times in the past couple of weeks, he's got a different team hat on, a team sweatshirt, and he's got the Bears cap.
The great news is if your laundry doesn't arrive from Portland, you're covered. You got Bears hat. That's you got a Bulls shirt.
I saw him on the street, and he's like, yeah, I went to a Sox game. He said, I just came from Hamilton. I'm like, Hamilton?
Right.
I've been trying for 2 years to go to Hamilton.
Hashtag get to know Steve. Right, now we're going to have to do that campaign.
All right, so Sapelsa says yes. You say yes. It looks
absolutely.
We got the right guy.
Absolutely. Very excited about it.
And I think you're going to like Paul Rennie and Jen.
They're fantastic. I mean, I left one great situation at KGW in Portland, and I feel like walked into another great situation. And Mark told me on the way in, it's a fantastic place to work. And I love the irreverence and just sort of the island that is WGN.
Yeah.
Thomas Sulo's hilarious. Paul Conrad is funny. That morning show, my wife was here. She said, I can't get enough of these people.
Yeah.
It's a great show.
Well, there's something wrong with them, but we're checking into it. Yeah.
Conrad's funny, but in a different kind of way.
Yeah. We have Homeland Security watching at all times.
Right. Well, I think it's great, too, that my first day could also be all of our last day. Isn't the rapture today?
Oh, is today the rapture?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
I did not know that.
It's become an annual event.
Yeah, I was just sorry. Do they give us a window, you know, like when this might happen?
I really didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
I learned about it watching Thomas Sulo's show on Saturday night. Yeah. I hadn't heard about
it. What is the window? Do we know?
I don't think he specified that.
Even the cable company gives you a window. You'd think for the end of the world we'd have some warning, you know?
Rapture happening sometime between 1 and 5. Be home.
Well, I either may or may not be on the WGN news tonight, depending on what happens.
I like your chances. Steve and Carol Stream also is lining up with the Clutch Cargo lookalike thing that you're getting. Have you gotten Clutch Cargo prior to
I get so many. I get the dad on The Incredibles. I get there's some cartoon character on Lazy Town that I'll admit is a bit of a doppelganger. I get Charlie Sheen. I get Patrick Duffy.
Patrick Duffy.
I can see that.
Doppelgangers.
Yeah. Well, it's great to have you, and congratulations, and looking forward to seeing you work.
Thank you very much for having me, and it's, like I said, an honor to be here.
You come by anytime.
Love
We're
to.
Here every morning, until further notice. Thank you, Steve. Steve Bertrand will be in the newsroom in just a matter of minutes. Now, seventh caller, and if they don't know the answer, they can use Dave Ennett as their lifeline. This is for White Sox tickets. I have White Sox tickets, a family pack of four to the Sox and the Twins, Friday night, May 4th, 7:10. And every Monday we'll give away another four-pack, along with tickets during the week. All right, so Dave, listen up now, because you may have to be a lifeline.
Got it.
Lucas Giolito and Ronaldo Lopez both pitched for the Sox over the weekend, along with pitching prospect Dane Dunning. They were all acquired in the same trade. Who did the White Sox give up to get this threesome? Seventh caller, Super Joe. And if they don't know the answer, they can ask Dave for help. Back after this on 720 WGN. Sorry, Joanne is on the phone. And if Joanne can't answer the question, she can ask Dave for help. Lucas Giolito, Ronaldo Lopez, Dane Dunning. Traded to the Sox in exchange for whom? And if you don't know, ask Dave for help.
Can I ask Dave for help?
All right, Dave, who is it?
Adam Eaton.
Do you agree with Adam Eaton?
Yes.
Congratulations.
She wouldn't be agreeing with Adam Eaton. She'd be agreeing with me.
That's a fair point. Yes. Congratulations. You got the Sox tickets, Sox and Twins. Who are you going to bring to the game?
I don't know. A couple friends.
Okay, then you'll need one more. You got two friends so far. How about Dave? Bring Dave to the game.
Yeah, I did help you get the tickets.
All right, thanks. Excellent. Joanne, thank you
I'll
very much.
I look forward to it, Joanne.
Appreciate you listening. All right, we'll come back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
His mother told him someday you will be a man, and you will be the leader of a big old band. Many people coming from miles around.
Chuck Berry, complete train wreck as a human being, but man, could he play guitar, couldn't he?
Go, go, go.
Yeah, I like that. Nice pick, Super Joe. Texters continue to chime in. Grandparents, what will you let your grandkids get away that you would never get away with, that you'd never let your kids get away with? 630. My mom told me to shut up and eat what's in front of you. My mom to my kid, honey, do you want me to cut the crust off your sandwich and cut it into heart shapes?
Isn't that great?
219. I have a 5-year-old grandson with no filter. Every time he says something inappropriate, I laugh, and he keeps repeating it to entertain me, and it really irritates his parents.
Oh, that's great. That sounds familiar.
815. I love this one. We have regular bedtime, and then there's grandma and grandpa bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the monitor in the kids' room can be viewed remotely, and we got busted.
Oh.
You can keep them coming. 312-981-7200 phone number and text line as well. I got some tape I need to play for you before 10 o'clock, which we'll get to. And we've talked about a couple of times, many times actually this month, it's Autism Awareness Month, and I'll welcome in studio Alexis Fieger from Autism Speaks and Nick Drevis. Nick, tell everybody what your name of your joint is.
Grill House in Northbrook.
How's biz?
Business been good.
Thanks for the food, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
We're spread out already. I'm sorry you had to go in and cook early.
Yeah.
But there is a couple of fundraisers coming up to support the walk. Why don't we go in reverse order, Alexis? When is the walk?
So we actually have two coming up in the Chicago area. We have one on May 6th, which is our North Shore walk, which will be at New Trier High School. And then we have our Chicago walk on May 12th, which is at Soldier Field.
I have done that one before. Yeah. And you start to Soldier Field, you walk up the edge of the lake a bit and turn around and come back.
Yeah, and this is the 15th year for that walk. So
yeah, which is great. Yeah. Nick, how are you involved in this?
Well, we're doing a give back on the 23rd in Northbrook at Grill House and on the 30th at Backyard Grill in Highland Park for Autism Speaks.
How does it work?
All the customers that come in and have a flyer or let us know that they're there for Autism Speaks, we'll give 20% of the proceeds back to Autism Speaks.
Nice. So coming into your joint on the 23rd, just make sure you say, I'm here because of Autism, even the regulars.
Yes.
I'm here because of Autism Speaks. Well, that's very nice of you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. And you were telling us off the air, your wife's a teacher of kids with autism?
Yeah, she works with kids with autism at Washington School in Glenview.
Yeah, good for her. Amy Cochran. Oh, by the way, did you know the other day that I gave Amy Cochran's incorrect company?
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. I mean, how do I not know the name of the company? Of course I know the name. You know, I'm old. I don't know if you know that or not.
What's the
It's Autism Home
name.
Support.
Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
And they do wonderful work. All right, Alexis, what do we need to know? What do we need to know during Autism Awareness Month to make us better people and more inclusive?
Yeah, the biggest thing is just to be aware and accepting of everybody around. We want to make sure that we are understanding and accepting of people, even if they may have different characteristics, different types of behavior, speech and nonverbal communication, and just educating ourselves with what this may look like and the best way to respond if we're in these situations.
I thought it was interesting the other day, and we've talked about this a couple times as well. There was a very important study, massive study, that broke that shed some light on the overstimulation that kids with autism suffer from. And when kids don't make eye contact, it's not some selfish gesture or we're locked in our own world in their case. It's because of the overstim, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly. And
it's literally painful.
Right. It's a lot for them. And
right.
We work closely with different organizations in our markets, helping them to put on sensory-friendly events, working with their staff to help make every event and showing and sporting event and movie to be a little bit more sensory-friendly and welcoming for everybody.
I know. I mean, the kids
museums have done a nice job with this. A lot of the theaters have stepped up. Who else has done something that we maybe don't know about that deserves some recognition?
Yeah, so you mentioned the theaters, the museums, different. The White Sox do an autism awareness game. The Cubs have an autism awareness game.
Cool.
Six Flags is doing an event for us in June. So really, we're trying to reach out to different locations, different events, and try to get everybody a little bit more inclusive and accepting.
How do they do that with you guys? Do they get a hold of you?
A little bit of both. Some will reach out to us, but we also like to look at different things that our families may like to do and may not typically have the opportunity to do, and try to connect with those organizations and set up trainings with their staff to make it more acceptable.
Your website's awesome too, because I was at the dollar store the other day and they said, do you want to make a donation to Autism Speak? Mm-hmm. So your website is great, because businesses that you may not even be aware of, especially during Autism Awareness Month now in April, will be making donations too, like White Castle, Dollar Store.
Yep, TJ Maxx as well.
People stepping up.
Discount, yeah.
That's cool.
And Nick did the cooking, as I mentioned. Do you have your plate there? Let me hold this up so that people on CLTV can see this fabulous spread. Nick, what'd you make for us?
We have our chicken souvlaki.
Yes, you do.
With pita.
Wow. Yes, he does. It's really good.
You really touched Audrey in a special way.
That's homemade Italian beef, a Greek villager salad.
Yeah.
With the feta cheese.
So this is like a home game for
you. I know. I went, Nick.
Yeah. I'm going to put this right here, making people on CLTV wish they were me. So thank you for that as well.
Thank you.
And again, as a business, thanks for stepping up. It's a big deal for everybody to help.
Well, it's our honor to help a cause. And I want to thank Alexis and Autism Speaks for giving us the opportunity to give back.
And tell everybody where your place is. Specifically, the address?
3061 Dundee Road in Northbrook.
Okay. The Grill House.
The Grill House.
There you go. The Nutria Walk or the Soldier Field Walk, can we walk up literally that day, or do you prefer pre-registrants?
We prefer pre-registration, but you are more than welcome to join day of. A little bit quicker if you register ahead of time and just check in, but we want as many people as possible to come and enjoy the day, and whether you join us day of or register beforehand, we appreciate the support.
And of course, throughout the year, volunteers and sponsorships and all those things are important. So go to the website, which is
autismspeaks.org.
Okay. And the Illinois chapter is one of the best.
Illinois and Wisconsin, I have to say, are two best chapters. Those are Chicagoland. So
that's what I'm saying. And all month long, including on walk day, if you're not going to wear the T-shirt, wear something blue. But wear blue as a show of support that you understand and you want to spread the word.
And the skyline has been blue, too.
Yep, the skyline's been blue. We lit up blue in Chicago, really cool. And it looks really cool at
night.
If you see the buildings blue, that's autism awareness.
You know, the city steps up really nicely whenever there's core events. But who does that? Who does it in the city? It's not Rom going up and flipping the lights.
We have one of our staff members, one of her jobs is to reach out to different organizations and buildings, and she's built some really strong relationships with the buildings and the skyline, but it's the organizations that typically will reach out to the buildings and get them to go.
Well, I think about that. Like, if you're coming from, like, where you live, South Loop, we always look at the Aon building, for instance.
Oh, yeah.
But do these buildings have a cooperative where they all agree to light up, or how do they do that?
I think special events, the mayor's office of special events, they plan all the parades and whatnot. We did a whole special one time on Channel 9 of going to the top of the Sears Tower, or the Hancock, actually, and lighting, how they do it with the panels. It's really cool, but it's the mayor's office of special events who coordinates.
So at the mayor's house, does he have a lot of different colored light bulbs?
He's got all the switches. He's like the old switchboards.
Right. The Wizard of Emmanuel.
Yeah.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
Website one more time.
AutismSpeaks.org.
And please support the Grill House. Not just great food, but a good guy.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's Nick. And Andrea will see him at the meeting of all Greeks later today. Nick Dravis, Alexis Seeger, and do what you can to help. Thanks, 920. Back with more in a moment.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I got faked out a little bit by the weather yesterday. Because we're going to play the beautiful Cantini Golf Course, and they had an event there. And then the fine people at Kemper said, "Nah, come on over to Bolingbrook. You're a member here. Come on over, play here." So my pal Steve Miller and I played golf there. It was not warm.
No, it was a little chilly yesterday. Yeah. It was very windy yesterday.
And that's exactly right, Mayor. Yeah. The wind was blowing constantly, as if Bolingbrook's not a tough enough course. But, man, that course is in great shape early in the season.
Oh, I love that course. Had my best round ever there with you.
Yeah, you did.
And remember, we played on like Thanksgiving weekend
or something,
yeah,
right?
That's right. It was beautiful
crazy
out.
At 9:24, Michael D'Antonio is a writer who has known Donald Trump well. For 30-plus years. At one point, D'Antonio was considered by Trump to be an ally, someone who understood him, someone who could make him even more famous. But then D'Antonio wrote the truth, and Trump's past is pretty troubling. If you spend any time truly reading unbiased accounts, biographies, and things of that nature. Michael D'Antonio over the weekend was asked about Trump's issues with the truth, and he had some interesting things to say. You got these three cuts for me, Super Joe?
I sure do.
All right, number one, roll it.
I guess this is how we get to a president who's now told 2,000 lies during his time in office. You know, listening to that, you wonder if John Barron and John Miller were separated at birth, because they sure do sound like the same guy. And he'll present this. People will present him with these audio recordings, and he'll deny that it's him, even after he's admitted it's him. It's really impossible to follow and kind of crazy-making.
Liz Smith, famous gossip columnist, had the same experience with Trump. And it's interesting that he and Melania chose Barron as the name for the youngest, because one of the aliases Trump used, well, really not even trying to disguise his voice, was John Barron.
Oh.
And he would call places like Forbes. This is where the story came out of this weekend. Back in the early 80s, Trump was then 40, early 40s, calls Forbes magazine to get listed on the Forbes 400, which is a big deal as a business. He claimed that all of his father's businesses were incorrectly accredited to his father, and it should have been credited to him. So he amped up his wealth. He tried to convince people he was worth, at that point, I think the number was $500 million, maybe? And he was worth $5
million. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Before the
so that's where it started back then. So D'Antonio says, look, the guy's got no fear. Listen.
It is him almost demanding you believe something so fantastic and so ludicrous that I think the listener winds up thinking, well, am I crazy to be thinking about this? Did he really just say that his father gave all of his wealth to him, and now instead of being worth $5 million, he's worth $400 million? You know, you got to give the guy credit for audacity. He's got incredible amounts of chutzpah, and he's not even Jewish.
The amazing thing is, in the Washington Post, amongst others, had confirmed that Trump told 2,000 lies in his first year of an office. 2,000.
Oh, my God.
2,000. That's almost six a day. Confirmed. In other words, he said something, and it was provable to be a lie. 2,000. You got to be lying all day long
to get
that many lies in.
Think about that, yeah.
So D'Antonio says nothing new. Hear this.
This is Donald really going back to his school days. When he was a boy, he insisted to others that he had hit home runs he had never hit in ball games. He left the New York Military Academy declaring himself the greatest baseball player in New York State. And it just went on and on and on. You know, he was named the ladies' man at a school that had no young women at it. So you tell me, he has been doing this forever.
That's my favorite quote of the weekend. He went to an all-boys boarding school and told people he was named the number one ladies' man at the school.
Right. By the way, that's 5.47 lies a day.
Is that what it is? That's a lot. It is 9:28. We'll come back with the headlines from you next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's 9:42. A month ago, the police superintendent, the mayor, a bunch of folks got together and said, hey, look, we got a very sensible change in gun laws here. It's going to make it very difficult for some of these guns to either stay in state, to get in the hands of the people that will be the most dangerous with them, and also make it a cleaner process and a more effective process when guns are sold. The governor at that time, I guess it's longer than that now because it's the week before the primary, the governor vetoed it, saying that it wouldn't be as effective as everybody else said. Right. Clearly political move at the time. The time for this nonsense is over. The governor hasn't addressed it and didn't address it when I brought it up on this show on multiple occasions to him. We need some answers on it because the veto session is quickly going to be gone here. And as it's been described to me, they're in veto override mode now. So let me start first with Kathleen Sansis. Then I'm going to bring in the lead sponsor of the bill. Kathleen, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate you coming on again. Tell everybody what your organization is.
It's the Gun Violence Prevention PAC. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I just briefed people on what the bill would cover. Do you have better bullet points than I do in front of you?
Sure. It would create a state license for gun dealers that would require them to train their employees to spot illegal purchasers. It would require that they all have background checks and require that they put in store security measures, video surveillance inside and outside the store to prevent theft.
I don't understand. Well, I mean, I do understand. I understand it was a political move by the governor, but I don't understand why after the primary was complete, this hasn't been quietly addressed.
We agree. And so the clock is ticking, and the deadline for this override to get out of the Senate is Wednesday, this Wednesday.
Kathleen, interestingly, this bill that Senator Harman is proposing or is on board for, it has bipartisan support. I mean, are you finding that, too, that in talking about this, this is not really a partisan issue? Gun violence affects everybody.
No, we never thought it was a partisan issue, and just the way things have progressed this year with the mass shootings, I think that we're thrilled that we've finally got some Republicans to come along with us to start to solve this.
Illinois State Senator Don Harmon from the 39th, are you co-sponsor on this bill, or is it all yours?
I'm the lead sponsor in the Senate of the bill.
That's what I thought. So aside from the disappointment that I think most people felt at the initial move by the governor here, talk about the politics for a second. Why couldn't this have been handled quietly, and why hasn't it been addressed by the governor's office since the primary?
It could have been handled by the governor since the primary, but I'm afraid I think the governor actually believes in his veto, that this is something he's a hunter, he's a sports shooter. I think he believes that this is too far of a reach to try to make sure our communities are safe. I disagree with him, but he's certainly working very hard to defeat the override effort.
Yeah, because here's the deal. I'm a Second Amendment believer. I've owned guns. I've shot guns. I grew up around hunters my whole life. This has nothing to do with that. This is trying to make all of us safer by design. And, you know, I was just looking at some mail of mine done, and I've got to get my car registered before the end of the month. So I've got to go in and I've got to prove that I own the car. I've got to pay a fee. I've got to show ID.
You got to pay for the sticker.
I've got to pay for the sticker. I then have to apply the sticker to the car. That's way more effort than it would take for me to go out and buy a gun today. Why can't we just have common sense here?
I could not agree more. I have often used the same analogy. If we could simply apply the same structure to guns and gun ownership and gun operation as we do to cars, I think we'd be in a much safer world. But the NRA and its allies don't agree with that whatsoever and fight it in every way we propose it.
And Kathleen, you know, the NRA's move here is no big surprise, because when the NRA says no to everything, little incremental moves like banning bump stocks, which is beyond common sense, it's just idiotic that bump stocks are even legal, then the NRA looks like, oh, no, we have compromised. That's their play. That's their move.
Right. And, you know, I'm not familiar with, you know, we have killings every day here. Senator Harmon, has any of those killings, have they used a bump stock yet?
No, and I talked to my colleagues about this. Before the horrible shooting in Las Vegas, none of us, including the gun advocates in the General Assembly, knew what a bump stock was.
Never heard of it.
It's idiotic that they are legal. We should take them out of circulation immediately.
Senator, how many votes are needed to override this veto? And I know there was some talk about not having enough votes. Has that changed?
I need 36 votes to override the governor's veto. I had 30 votes on the bill when it originally passed. We have public commitments of 33 votes, and I am optimistic that with some very reasonable accommodations and assurances, I can get to the 36 votes I need in the Senate.
The people that are holding out, are they looking for a swap and something they need, or are they legitimately against the bill?
Each member is looking for something different, generally consistent with the interests of their district. This shouldn't be a political issue, but it is becoming a regional issue, and I understand that. My colleagues downstate grew up in a different culture. So for me to ask some of my downstate colleagues to take a yes vote, that's something they're going to have to go home and explain in their districts. What I really need to work on is my suburban colleagues, particularly suburban Republicans, who clearly have the will of their constituents in support of this override, but just haven't yet mustered the courage to say so.
Senator, the numbers don't lie. Support for the bill is 71% of voters across the districts support this. So my question, I guess, is when your constituents call you and say, hey, you know, I support this, you listen to them, right? I'm just curious why a lawmaker wouldn't listen to their constituents when it's almost 75% of people supporting this.
To piggyback on your point, this is why it's so important, as Kathleen was saying, to do this today and tomorrow. You got to let your elected reps know you want this done.
I agree. The numbers are compelling. Those numbers cross every demographic. Gun owners support the bill. So it shouldn't be that hard. The problem politically is that the NRA is so effectively mobilized that 20 or 30 or 40 people who live in a senator's district bombard the office with calls and meetings, and they show up for every single town hall, and they create the illusion of a breadth of support when it's really narrow but incredibly deep. We need 5,000 people for every 50 NRA supporters to send an email to their legislator saying, I want you to vote for the override.
We've talked about this a million times on the show as well, but until elected reps start losing their jobs for supporting the NRA, it's probably not going to change. But you know, Don, you know what I don't understand, and I certainly don't understand this in Congress, and Kathleen, you could chime in this as well. What the hell are you protecting? You're protecting your job? You got to look yourself in the mirror tomorrow and the day after that. This lunatic who just walked into a Waffle House in Nashville because somebody gave the gun back to the father so they could give back the gun back to the mentally ill kid. All we're trying to do is prevent this nonsense. I mean, to the best of our ability, right?
You're letting common sense intrude on the debate here, Steve. This is not what our friends believe.
We need to light up the phones. Light up the phones and emails. Don, you tell us. In Springfield, do you respond better to emails or phone calls or both?
Both. Emails have heft, especially when we can print them out and throw them on someone's desks. But the phone calls certainly do get in the heads of the members and their staff.
And Kathleen, how do you want people to be looking at this?
We need a lot of context going in. Today and tomorrow and Wednesday. And if I could send people over to our website,
sure,
to find out who their state senator is and launch the email right from there. It's www.ilgvp.com.
GVP, Gun Violence Protection.
It's ILGVP.com.
Right. I just want to make sure they heard V there. Thanks to both of you. And Don, thanks for starting this and standing up. And Kathleen, obviously, thanks for the work you're doing every day. And we will push it today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, and hopefully get some people involved here.
Thanks so much.
Steve, I've been working on this for 16 years, believe it or not. Looking forward to getting it done one way or the other.
Yeah, keep pushing, man. Do not give up. Thank you for that. It's Don Harmon and Kathleen Sansis. And again, ILGVP. ILGVP.com, ILGVP.com. You go there, you can find out who your elected rep is. Don't feel bad if you don't know. And then send a note immediately to them and say, look, you ain't getting my vote. Mm-hmm. I'm not voting for you in November or whenever I have an opportunity to vote you again, and I'll actively campaign against you unless you back this.
Or call Steve. I mean, pick,
yeah,
up,
the pick up the phone and call as
call.
Well. But I do like that idea of about an inch-thick pile of emails that you can drop on somebody's desk. It looks good on TV.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You guys want to know if you're rich? Business Insider has a new story out. The money it takes to be considered rich in all 50 states, the bigger towns in all 50 states. Chicago, Illinois, 20th. How much do you think it takes? And by the way, rich is defined by earning two times the median income for this state.
Two times the median income.
So in Chicago, Illinois, we came in 20th on how rich you need to be rich. So what do you think you need?
So what's our median income?
Well, if I tell you that, you'll know the answer.
That's the idea.
Is it like based on like all of your wealth or what you make a year?
Well, no, it's based on whatever the median income is.
All right.
And double that is what would determine whether or not you're rich, according to Business Insider.
I'm going to say $200,000.
I'm going to say less than that.
Yeah, I thought it would be higher. It's $101,000.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're considered rich if you have $100,000.
If you make $100,000, not if you have it. Okay. If you make $100,000, this
so
is
the
salary.
50.
Okay.
Median's 50 and change.
Wow.
Wow.
I
thought it was less actually.
L.A. $103,000.
See, now I would think L.A. would be more.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
Yeah, I would
more.
Too.
Because it's so much more expensive to live.
New York City's only $110,000. And by the way, only because it's so expensive to live in New York City.
Oh, my God. I had my college roommate got her first job out of college in New York, and she, for a studio, was paying $4,000 a month.
In New York?
In Manhattan, yeah.
Yeah. In 1996, I was working in New York City, and I had found a one-bedroom apartment. In 96, 22 years ago.
Okay.
A one-bedroom apartment. I needed to provide first, last, and a month for security deposit. So essentially, it's 3 months' rent.
Yeah.
And this is 22 years ago. One bedroom, probably about 47 square feet.
Yeah.
I needed a check for $11,000.
No.
Yeah, to get the key to the front door.
Oh, my God. Did you do it?
No, I got fired right on Sunday.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Put a deposit down in a house.
Yeah, right? It's crazy.
I think that number would be higher if it was just Manhattan.
Maybe. Yeah, that probably is true because you're combining all New York State.
Mm-hmm.
Anchorage, Alaska is the most difficult place to achieve a status of being rich. Anchorage, Alaska, to be considered rich in Anchorage, you got to make $162,000 a year.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Alaska is expensive. To live in Alaska? Because there's nothing.
I can say everything has to get
everything
to
has
you.
To be. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. you got bear.
Bear.
You do.
Wolves.
Ice.
And ice. That's it. Those are your three main things. So you have bear, wolves, and ice.
It's their industry.
Other than that, everything has to be shipped in. So, what did you let your grandkids get away with that your kids never would have gotten away with? That's the text question today, 630. Made my grandson a hot dog on Thanksgiving when he didn't want any of the 500 pounds of other food on the table.
Yeah.
The only person who was outraged was my daughter, the one that doesn't have kids. Little Miss Busybody.
Uh-oh.
Sticking her nose in where the hot dog is.
Uh-oh.
847, I told my kids that their daughter, my granddaughter, can eat whatever she wants.
Mm-hmm.
No food rules. Cake for every meal if she wants it. You deal with it when you take her home.
Deal with the sugar high.
708, the lady who my sister and I know as our mom is not the lady we grew up with. She calls herself grandma, maybe, maybe not, but she's not the person who raised us.
That's good.
You remember that old Cosby line? And obviously, you got to drop what you know about Bill Cosby now. But Bill Cosby had a line that they're not grandparents, they're just people trying to get into heaven.
Yeah.
936, my parents to me while shopping. No, you can't get anything from the toy aisle. My parents to my six-year-old while shopping. Yes, you can have all the toys.
Right? Well, wouldn't you do that? You'd go to grandma if mom and dad said no. You'd go to grandma or grandpa
yeah.
in your case.
Yeah.
Could you ever say no to anything that Abigail wanted?
If I think it's bad for her. You know, like if she's
candy,
importing
toys.
Weapons.
Well, no, I don't think she'd be on that list.
Yeah. I got a big afternoon with Abigail. We're going to be looking for Mickey Mouse's
playhouse.
Playhouse. Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow. I guess it's going to be harder to find if I don't know what it is.
Someone's anxious. Look at that.
Just go in and go, I need that thing. You know what it is. Words. Stupid words.
Stupid words. I had the best words until that. What are you guys doing today?
We've got the royal baby on with us, Steve.
Fantastic. Talking already?
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Cooing.
Cooing.
Can
talking.
We agree that little George is one cute little kid?
It's a handsome kid.
That's so a cute little kid with
should
his
fix
goofy,
him up with your granddaughter.
That's a great idea.
I thought that. About that.
You should do it.
I thought about that, but he's a little old for her. Isn't he five now?
He is five, yeah.
Yeah, and she's only
he looks four, though. He looks great. I don't know what he's doing.
Well, you know what he's taking care of himself.
You have to.
Yeah. You eat right, you nap.
Right. I would go out on a limb and say she might have to move to London, though.
Oh, there's that.
Yeah, we're not going Meghan Markle on this. I'll tell you what. George wants to marry Abigail. He's coming here. We'll ask him having that
put your
discussion.
Foot down.
We'll be back tomorrow. Here's Bill and Wendy.